This is one of my favorite Sundays of the whole year. And in fact, it's the Sunday that like the whole first quarter of our year kind of points to. You know, as soon as we get through Christmas and we get to the first of the year, it's like, when's Easter? When's Easter coming? Because that whole first quarter kind of begins to point towards what are the things that we're going to be talking about and pointing to, and how are we going to get ready for the resurrection? How are we going to get ready for the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus? And so today we're starting a brand new series called Burn List. And there's a number of different things in our life and in our world around us that hold us back from being and doing what God wants us to do. And sometimes those things keep us from having a relationship with God to begin with. They keep us away from church. They keep us away from faith. They keep us away from anything. Because we think, you know, God can't possibly love someone like me. Maybe it's, you know, you don't struggle with the initial faith, but what you struggle with is, how could God use someone like me? You know, I've done this. I understand God can love me, but there's no way that God could use me to do anything that would further His kingdom, would further His mission, would further the things that He wants to do. And too often we live in defeat rather than victory. See, today is all about victory. Today is all about Jesus rising from the dead. He put death to shame. He put death away. He defeated death once and for all of us. And so today is a day of victory, but too often we live in defeat. Too often we live as if we have to hold back, as if God can't possibly use us. We live in this mindset that we're behind, that we're down, that we're losing, that we can't possibly be valuable to God, that God couldn't possibly use someone like me. We might even go through life unsure if God really, truly loves us, that God couldn't possibly accomplish anything great through me, and that could not be anything further from the truth. See, it's a lie that Satan tries to push on us. It's a lie that he pushes on us every day, that our sin, that our faults, that our failures hold us back. That these things keep us from being able to pursue God, that we couldn't even come before God because of these faults, because of these failures. See, Satan knows he's lost the war, and his only hope is to win as many battles for the hearts and minds of men as possible. And so he reminds us of our sin. He puts doubt in our mind, and he piles on guilt. See, he gets us to thinking that God can't love me, and God can't fulfill his plan for us, that maybe he'll keep us from going all in with God. Have you ever let someone down? Maybe a child, a parent, a friend, a coworker. You said you'd do something. You say you'd be somewhere. You say you would be a part of something. You'd help make something happen. But in the end, it didn't get done. And you had good reasons. There were circumstances that were beyond your control. And deep inside, when this happens, you feel guilty. If you're like me, you hate to let people down. And so you maybe you begin to worry, and you begin to you think, I wanted to come around. I wanted to do these things. I wanted to be there, but sometimes things just get in the way. And when you tell them that you see them after you let them down, and the look on their face and their countenance towards you makes you feel guilty. Maybe you're caught in a habitual cycle. Your behaviors, your decisions, you keep making the wrong ones, and you can't seem to shake it. And whenever you come to that crossroads, you always take the wrong turn. And when you're confronted with that temptation, you find yourself choosing sin rather than the way out. When the moment's passed and you're reminded of your sin, deep down inside, you feel guilty. See, guilt is Satan's way of redirecting our attention, of deflecting our attention away from where it ought to be, away from what God thinks of us, away from what God's great love for us. And it begins, he points us to our sin and our guilt. See, God knows we're not perfect. He knows the sins we committed last night, last week, last month, last year. He knows the sins we're going to commit, we could commit this morning, we're going to commit later today, and later this week. God is not surprised when we sin. And Satan wants to tell us that that is going to keep us from God's love, but God, our sin could not cause God to love us any less. Because it's impossible for him to love us anymore. Because he gave us his very best to die on the cross for us. God can't possibly love us anymore because he's already loved us as much as he possibly can. And so through guilt, Satan stirs up doubt. Does God really love you? Could God really use you even after all that you've done? And the resounding answer to those questions is yes. Because to God, we are priceless. We are priceless. So if you came here today with any doubt about your worth, any guilt from your past, then let me share with you some good news today. Good news not just for you, but good news everyone needs to hear. Not just those in this room, but those who are at their homes right now, those who are going about their business today. They need to hear this good news as well. See, one of the most common reasons why people do not respond to Jesus is because of guilt, because they don't think God could love them for the things they've done. I'm just too far from God. I'm beyond hope. But the message of the cross is that no one is too far away that God can't reach them with his love. And so today, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. It's appropriate. We start this new series, Burn List, on one of my favorite days with one of my favorite chapters of the entire Bible. And Paul, in his letter to Romans, as David said about the song Forever, Romans starts out with bad news. I mean, the whole first three chapters is you can't do anything good. I mean, we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. Paul really knows how to start out a letter trying to encourage us, right? You're awful. No one's good. You're not, even if you think you're good, you're not good. That's the first three chapters of Romans. Only God is good, you're not. And then he begins to turn the corner. And he begins to open up the story. He shows us that there is hope. And he shows us that grace is available, that Jesus came. And Paul begins to introduce this good news, that we're not destined and doomed to an end of death and separation from God, that God provided another option. And while the payment for sin is death and separation from God, new life was made available through Jesus. And even in new life, we will still struggle with the effect of sin. We will still struggle with the sin in our life. And the payment for sin on our behalf was paid by Jesus at the cross. And guilt has no place in the life of the Christian. But those who have not yet chosen to follow Jesus, guilt is still very much a reality in their life. And so Paul begins writing in the 8th chapter of Romans these words. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law was powerless to do that was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Paul starts this section with the word therefore. And whenever we see the word therefore, it always says that the part that's going to come after is connected to the part that came before. And then what Paul talked about in the section just before this is how even as we have come to Christ, even as we've given our life to him, as we've accepted him as our Savior, we still struggle with sin. We still struggle mightily with sin in our life, that sin still is present. And we end up doing the things that we hate doing. We end up doing things that we despise doing, that we hate. That we still struggle with these things. Even though we've come to Christ, we haven't fully been made perfect yet. But what this means as we've come to Jesus is that that the penalty of sin and the effects of sin no longer have any bearing in our life. Why? Because there is now no condemnation. That word condemnation is a legal word. It's a forensic word. It refers to not just the judge's sentence upon the guilty party, not just the pronouncement of that sentence, but also it being carried out. Not just him pronouncing them guilty, but also in the execution of the verdict. And so when we come to Christ, our pronouncement goes from guilty to not guilty. There is no condemnation. That word no is emphatic. It's like no way, not a chance, zip, zero, nada, nothing at all. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. We have been pronounced not guilty. Why? Because our sin magically disappeared? That we just immediately stop sinning? I mean, if you've been a Christian for more than a minute, you realize you're still sinning. Is it because God just swept under the rug and forgot about it? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You didn't mean to. No. It's because there's a new sheriff in town. You see, God gave us the law. The law is good. When we read the Old Testament law is good. It points us to Jesus. It prepares us for Jesus. It gives us wisdom about how to live as members of God's family. But when we see the law and we see the rules laid out and we see these things, we realize that we can't quite keep up. We don't quite measure up. We fail along the way. And the problem, the bad side of law is that when you break the law, there's a penalty, right? You go too fast down the road. Mr. Police Officer pulls you over. He's going to give you a ticket, and you get to donate part of your hard-earned money to the city, right? So, hey, I'm sorry for going too fast on that road. There's a penalty for our crime. Paul writes earlier in Romans, the wages of sin is death. What we get for our sin is death. We get separation from God. That's what the law does. The law points us, the law prepares us for Jesus. But those of us who are in Christ, we don't have any condemnation from that. Because the price that was paid for our sin, that death, was put on another. Jesus came and he died for us. So the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death, because the law was powerless to give life. The law can't give us life. When we break the law, it can only offer us penalty. It can only offer us its punishment. It can only offer us the consequence. The only way for the law to give us life is if we follow it completely, 100% of the time. And if you're much like me, I find that awfully difficult. Because sometimes I do the wrong thing. I know. Preacher guy shouldn't do the wrong thing. My wife could tell you otherwise. Sometimes I get it wrong. And see, once we've broken the law, we cannot be set free from the penalty. We must face the penalty ourselves. It exposes our problem. It shows us our need. It presents the problem of the penalty for breaking the law. And it shows us our need for a Savior. The law does not give life. It only brings sin and death. So what the law was powerless to do, God did. God did. What the law could not do in giving us life, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man. And that word likeness is pretty significant. Because maybe you've heard of the doctrine of original sin, that we were all born sinful. And if you've noticed, in all the things that we have to teach our children, sinning is not one of them, right? I mean, you teach them to feed themselves. You teach them to blow their nose, how to tie their shoes. You don't have to say, hey, Charlie, come here. Today, I'm going to teach you how to sin, right? Because we just kind of seem hardwired to do it to begin with, right? You don't have to go, oh, come, today is the day I'm going to teach you the lesson of how to sin. We don't have to do that because of children. We just kind of do that. But it's that word likeness is important because Well, Jesus was born like us, and he had to be born like us, and he had to be born in the flesh. We'll get to that in a second. He did not sin in his flesh. If Jesus sinned even one time, he could not pay the price for our sin. He could only die for his own sin. But he had to come in the likeness of sinful man. He had to come in the flesh to be made like us. As John said, that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That Paul, as Paul writes to the Philippians, that he was made in human likeness. Jesus is real. He was alive human in every way. The writer of Hebrews said he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. See, he had to be born as a man in the flesh to deal with the sin in the flesh of man. See, God could not just come as a spirit. He could not just come as an object of divinity. He actually had to be born human, with real human skin, with real human emotions. Have you ever felt so sick that you wish you could just die? You haven't lived long enough, Noah. Jesus experienced sin. Jesus experienced sickness like that. Think of all those different ranges of emotions you felt as you grew up through adolescence. Jesus experienced those too. Jesus experienced life just as we are, yet was without sin. See, for sin to be condemned, for the penalty to be paid, blood had to be shed, and someone had to die. And death is the penalty for sin, and that death had to be borne by a human. And so Jesus bore our death on the cross, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met. So the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met. See, once we've sinned, the only way for God to remain righteous, the only way for him to remain holy is to satisfy the law's requirements for punishment. And that's what Jesus came to do. We can't satisfy the requirements on our own. We're not good enough. We're not able enough to do that. Only Jesus, only the perfect Son of God could do that. Once we sin, the law requires death. The law brings condemnation on us all. And if we demand self-salvation, if we demand to pay our own way, we will experience both physical death and eternal punishment. Or we can allow God to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law his own way. See, God as creator made everything that we see. And because God is creator, God is the lawgiver. God sets out the rules by which we live by, so he's our ruler as well. And the ruler judges whether we're obeying the law or not and issues punishment. But God is not only our creator, God's not only our ruler, but God decided to wear a third hat and he became our redeemer. See, the punishment for sin, our sin ought to be placed upon us. Our sin ought to bring us death and separation. But God did not want it that way. God wanted to restore relationship with us. So he redeemed sinful man by sending his son Jesus, his perfect son Jesus, to the cross to die for us, to take our death in our place. That was his blood that was poured out on our behalf, so that we could be pronounced not guilty. So when we do this, we are set free from the law of sin and death. That word set free is completed action in Greek. It's a past tense word. It's a one-time event. That act of liberation, that act of being set free from sin, that act of being set free from death is a past event in the life of the Christian. In our baptism, we go under the water and we receive forgiveness for our sins. The Holy Spirit is given to us to fill our life. And when we come up out of the water, there is no more condemnation for us. Our sin is paid. Our death has been died, and we are set free from the law of sin and death. But death still had to be paid. And Jesus still had to die. And through Jesus' death, through our faith, through our baptism, the Holy Spirit applies the redemptive act of Jesus' life to mine and to yours. And he breaks the connection between sin and death. But yet when we insist on feeling guilty, what we say is that we insist on helping God with our salvation. When we insist on carrying the guilt for our sin with us, we are telling God, you need help saving us, so I need to carry this weight a little bit longer. But Paul said we are set free from that. That guilt no longer has a place in the life of the Christian. But when we walk around feeling guilty, what we're saying is, I don't fully trust Jesus' work on the cross. Jesus needs my help to save me. See, we don't fully trust him. His death is not enough. And so we decided to carry around a weight we were not meant to carry. And so today, if you are in Christ, your condemnation quit at the cross. Our condemnation quit at the cross. We were pronounced not guilty the moment he died and the moment we decided to put our faith and trust in that work and that place at that time. We are not guilty. We can leave the guilt at the cross and walk away free, because that is what he desires for us, that our condemnation quit at the cross. But if you came here feeling guilty today, listen to the words of Paul to the church in Galatians. What he said was, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And so each day, we have to choose to leave the shackles on the ground and not pick them up again. As we enslave ourselves to our own sin, as we enslave ourselves to our own guilt, we enslave ourselves to our own way. If you don't trust Paul, listen to Jesus. What he said was, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And each day we choose to pick up our chains, we pick up our shackles, we pick up our sin, we pick up our guilt, and demand that we carry it when he's paid for it all on the cross for us, to set us free from sin and guilt. And today, if you are a believer, today, if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for you. Live free for him. See, guilt has no place in our life. There's no more price left to pay. When Jesus said it is finished, he said it was paid in full. In his death, from his death, we gain life. Our condemnation quit at the cross. And we get to live in freedom because of his death, but much more because of his life. See, today is not just a day that we gather to remember the price that was paid. We don't just gather today to remember his death, that he died. It's not a memorial to remember today, that to remember that he died for us. Today we remember that he didn't remain dead, that he rose from the grave. And maybe today, as you drive out and you'll see the three crosses, and on the backside of the three crosses, there is a man-made tomb out of stone. And maybe today you just need to stop and take a moment by the empty tomb to remind yourself that he rose again, that he paid the price for our sin, that he defeated death, he defeated our sin, and he rose again on the third day, that we might have life eternal with him. We don't gather just to celebrate his death. We gather to celebrate because he rose again. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. And death is forever defeated. And his resurrection tells of a future reality for those who are in Jesus. Just a few verses later in Romans 8, after what Paul just wrote, he wrote this: and if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. In short, Paul said, if you are a believer, if you've been baptized, if the Holy Spirit is in your life, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in your body, and at one time, at some point in the future, you will be raised as well to join in fellowship with him. We have that hope. And so if you're in Christ, your worst day here is the closest to hell you'll ever get. Your worst day here is as close to hell as you'll ever get. But if you've not chosen Christ as your Savior, if you've not trusted in Jesus' work on the cross, your best day here is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. If you're in Christ, you've been pronounced not guilty. We no longer have to carry around the weight of guilt and shame with us because it was paid for on the cross. But if you're outside of Jesus, if you've not chosen him as your Savior, guilt is very much a part of your reality. That there's still work that needs to be done. And you can choose to pay your own way, but by paying your own way, you'll pay not just in physical death, but in eternal punishment separated from God. But that can change. Because we get to choose. Have you ever heard about that? Have you ever heard in a court of law where the judge allows the guilty person to choose their punishment? Hey, you lied and cheated and robbed and did all these other heinous things. You're guilty of those things. What do you want your punishment to be? Nothing? Okay. Have you ever heard of that? No, if you're guilty, who pronounces the punishment? Generally, the judge lays down the punishment, but we get to choose. We get to choose. We get to choose to pay our price in death, or we can choose to have someone pay it for us. The good news is, we get to choose if we want to be set free. If we've not chosen Jesus our Savior, we are still in our guilt. We are still condemned to our sins. But we can choose to be free. The message of the cross is that the punishment for our sin has been paid for. It's been accomplished. It's paid in full. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Our sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. The message of the empty tomb is we're set free. That we're set free. That death no longer has its reign over us. And there's this freedom, this good news that can be yours, that we no longer have to carry around the guilt of our sin and shame and past. We can leave it at the cross and exchange it for new life and freedom in Jesus. See, those of us who have made Jesus our Savior, who've repented of our sin, who've been obedient to him in baptism. Those who are in Christ, we have been set free, and guilt no longer has a factor in our life. The law couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. Only the sinless Son of God, only Jesus Christ could pay the price so that we might be set free, and so that our condemnation would quit at the cross. For those of us who are in Jesus, all that is ours now is freedom. When Satan comes with his bag of tricks, trying to make us feel guilty, we need to remember that it's for freedom that we've been set free, that we're no longer shackled to a yoke of slavery, no longer weighed down by our guilt, no longer do we have to feel like we're down, like we're losing, like we're somehow behind in the battle. If we're in Christ, if Jesus is our Savior, then today is a day of victory. But if you're not in Christ, if you've not chosen him as your Savior, today is still a day of guilt and condemnation and judgment. But you get to choose. You get to choose who you will follow. Will you choose to bear your condemnation yourself? or will you allow Jesus to take it for you? Will you bear and wear your sin and shame? Or will you allow Jesus to let you walk in victory? See, if we're in Christ, if Jesus is our Savior, then today and every day is a day of victory because He is risen. He's risen indeed. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. Thank You for today. Today, as we get to celebrate Your love for us, poured out on the cross, punctuated by an empty grave. Father, we thank You that You have made a way to restore us to Yourself. That, Father, we no longer have to live in our guilt. We no longer have to live in our shame. But that, Father, we can come before You broken and You can restore us. We can come before You in pieces and You will put us back together. That, Father, we can come before You guilty. You pronounce us not guilty. We can come before You dirty and spoiled. And You'll make us white as snow. Father, would You break us so that You can remake us into Your image, that we might reflect Your goodness, that we might reflect Your glory, that Your light might shine through us so You might be made known to all those around us. Father, as we ponder the cross, as we think about the empty tomb, will it change our life? Will it cause us to think and to live differently? Will it speak to us and draw us closer to You? Father, You would remind us today that we are loved, that we are cared for, that You gave everything You had for us that we might be restored to You. Father, we celebrate that today. Would You make us whole? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today is a day of victory. And maybe today you come and you've not chosen Jesus as your Savior. Maybe today is not a day of victory for you. Maybe today you're still in your guilt and you're still in your condemnation. Today could be the day that you choose hope, that you choose grace, that you choose salvation. And here in a moment, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a song. If you need to respond to the message by accepting it, I'd love to meet you here in the front. Maybe you accept that message a long time ago, but every day you wake up picking up those chains, carrying around your slavery, carrying around your sin, acting like you still have to help Jesus save you. And maybe today you just need to drop those shackles and leave them at the cross. Maybe you need to come forward, and maybe you need to just have us pray for you and walk beside you and encourage you. Maybe that's a decision you make where you're at today and say, I'm going to change this. I'd say, don't leave here today without telling someone but the change you need to make. Maybe today you're struggling. You came in beat up and you feel broken down. You just need others to pray for you. You just need others to come around you and encourage you and lift you up and pray with you. Maybe today you're looking for a church home. Maybe you're looking for a place where you can put down some spiritual roots and you can say, I want to grow with this body of believers. I want to see God's work done in this place through this people, that from this place, from this point out, we can share and show God's love. That we can be a lighthouse to those in this area, in this community. That we can lead them and bring them into a relationship with Jesus. I don't know where today finds you. What decisions God may be placing on your heart, how you might need to respond to the songs we've sung, the word we've heard today. But if there's a decision you need to make today, would you meet me here in the front as we stand and as we sing?